Everyone's asleep.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Broadcasting from New Zealand, the fabulous, the fluoridated, the Fukushima irradiated. Well, we don't know how Fukushima irradiates us because we stopped testing for radiation, incidentally, last year. At the end of last year, probably when radiation level tests were trying to spike or anything. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I live life with my eyes open. And it means that I see a lot of things that really, really frustrate me. Kind of make me angry.
Make me go to dark places.
You know, I don't know if anybody else is vibing what I'm selling here. Because I wake up in the morning and I'm really angry. Angry at everything. And it seems like there's no reason for it. And I remember, you know, actually there is a reason for it. In fact, there's not just one. It's not just two. And there's a reason to be angry for everything. Isn't that interesting, right? It's a motivation thing. If you're not angry, you're not motivated to change the things that are going on that are frustrating you. There's a reason why you get angry. It's because you generally destroy things that make you angry. You change them in some way, perhaps, a little bit more peacefully than destroying them. And what's happening to me, I think, is I'm starting to lose my cool. You know, all of this joking and carrying on and playing around like, yeah, it's the lighter side of genocide, ha ha ha, don't laugh, you'll cry. Yeah, basically it's just I don't know if you've noticed, I'm not, and I won't deny it if somebody accuses me of it, but it's basically just a thin veneer to cover up enormous amounts of rage that courses just beneath the arteries and the cockles of the heart. Right underneath the surface there. Very, very in touch with my rage places, ladies and gentlemen. I'm getting angrier and angrier. Day after frickin' day. For inexplicable reasons. But because I've got my eyes open. I'm looking at all the things around me. I'm hearing what people are saying. I'm watching what people are doing. In a lot of cases, I'm not. Kind of like in a bit of a black hole, right? Because as soon as you say, oh, I've got my eyes open, somebody will just knock you right on your ass and say, really, have you heard about this? And you're like, no, I have no idea. Which frustrates you even more, you know? You get angry about messages from people that are just abusive, just stupid, People are always wrestling with their egos and everything. I'm narcissistic as hell, but mate, I don't even let my ego get in the way of having a decent relationship with somebody. I mean, you know, let's be peaceable about it. Let's be cool. Let's not be horrific and nasty and make stuff up. Let's not call each other names. Let's try to, you know, be human, gentlemanly, reasonable, etc. Whatever frickin' adjective you think you need to say. Whether it be religious monocles or monocles. It's a singular eyeglass. How did that even come into that? Maybe I meant monologue. A religious monologue. Is that comforting? I don't think so. But apparently a whole lot of people spend a lot of time in churches listening to things. And believe me when I tell you, you carry your church with you. Whatever you're sitting there listening to all day and everything, that's your preacher. That's your representation of the world and your God out there. And, you know, if you're sitting there listening to somebody raging out and getting really aggressive and everything of that nature, hey, oh my God, everything's so fracked up, it's horrible, it's terrible. And you look outside and it's like, there's nothing going on, right? And all this fear and all this angst and everything is starting to build up. Every single movie you watch is violent, or it's got zombies, or the end of the world, or somebody freaking being murdered by their closest sibling, or anything like that. It's like they're trying to squeeze the love and togetherness and the happy feelings of wonder and consciousness and everything out of everybody's lives in every single way, every single day, bombarding us with the radiation and goodness knows what freaking other chemicals and everything. You know, and you get people who get born and they've got like traces of 200 freaking plus chemicals in the cords, you know. It's just unbelievable. We're totally saturated in things that are bad for our health. Even those of us who know what is bad for our health really know and know about the GMOs to stay away from and the flora and everything like that. Half of us are really unhealthy ourselves, you know, and it's because there's like this massive quantity of knowledge that we haven't even had time to absorb yet. Because when you're reading stuff, you don't even understand it. When you're interviewing people, you don't freaking understand it. You haven't deeply researched into it. You haven't read it over 100 times. You haven't had 10 conversations with 12 different people with different points of views and differing opinions and evidence stacks and things of that nature in order to compound a point of view. People, we are running on frickin' autopilot most of the time. I know I am. I have no idea what the hell is going on. I'm prepared to admit it. And a whole bunch of other people are not prepared to admit they don't know what the hell is going on. Are you prepared to admit it yourself? You know, that there's so much going on that at the end of the day, no matter how good an idea you have and a handle on things, you really have no freaking idea because there's just that much knowledge. And all you can do, really, the only thing I can actually feel confident about is things that I've already done and things that I reckon I can probably easily do. You know, if I'm doing radio shows and videos and ranting, etc., or whatever, you know, it's like, no problem, man. I can do that. I can do that. And somebody says, you know, Vinny, you could be an Olympic gymnast. And I'd be like, you know, I'm not prepared. Sadly, I don't think any of us are prepared, really, to change our lives again, all right? Because I think maybe this is sort of like a 29-year-old midlife crisis kind of episode going on in my brain right now because I'm so freaking pissed off that I just think, you know, maybe I am having a little bit of a midlife crisis. Maybe I'm going crazy because I'm thinking about how much of a pain in the ass that it is to actually be surviving, helping humanity, getting all the praise and thanks and being able to travel around and interview people and talk about all this interesting stuff and what have you and actually really contribute something to the broad base of humanity. And how could that possibly be a bad thing? Here's why. Because everybody who doesn't have the same objective as you comes after you and starts abusing you and starts giving you all their negativity and all their negative energy, all their questioning, all their ninnying, and you become really judgmental. Really judgmental if you've got so many people displaying their opinions of you, is that it's sort of like a defense mechanism, is that as soon as somebody criticizes you, you have to hit them back with the criticism, you know? And this is something I've realized happened a long time ago. is that two people will be arguing. One person will say, you only think this because of such and such and blah, 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 blah in your life, which I know nothing about. And you reply by saying, well, you're only accusing me of that because of such and such and blah, 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 blah in your life, which I know nothing about. So you've got two people who know nothing about each other, telling each other who each other is, and not listening to each other. It's freaking stupid. This is what's happening. We're not freaking listening to each other. I feel like I'm not being listened to. You know, isn't that ironic for a radio show host? It's like, oh, I don't feel like people are listening to me. And it's not in sort of the way like that. It's more on the everyday level. It's like, you're not listening to me. You know, I'm telling you something really important. I'm telling you something that's true. I'm telling you something that could actually help you save your life or something like that if you just put in a little bit of effort. And then, of course, ignoring all the efforts and everything that I could be putting into other areas of my life where I'm falling short. And we all do that, don't we? You know, am I overly critical of myself? Probably. Well, you have to be. You know, if you're a loudmouth piece of crap, from time to time. I'm incredibly selfish. I've stolen things, you know. Gave them back, you know. I realised it didn't belong to a mainstream media person. You know, and I realised, oh my God, I just stole a microphone from an activist. I actually felt real bad about that. It was like this Casper thing. And when you broke ass and everything, and I remember like back in my childhood, I used to like steal money out of my mum's wallet and I used to buy food with it and everything. I got really, really fat as a kid and getting abuse at school all the time. And it was like stealing things became kind of like a stress coping thing or whatever. I'm not sure what the hell actually caused it, but I was prone to like taking things. And I took this thing. It was, I just finished filming this conference about, see, there's a deep confession here. You won't hear any other radio show host freaking confessing this kind of stuff to you. That's why you know you can trust me. Because if I actually do something bad, I'll confess to it. And believe me, I will punish myself for it. You know? Except if you're an authority figure and you're actually going to take my freedom away. Because at the end of the day, I think that I punish myself for the things that I do. And I repair things that I've broken. You know? I really do make an effort. The law should really only come into play when somebody's actually really been dishonest. There's an old saying. You can trust a thief, but you can't trust a liar. So, it was at Casper, I think. This is Lady Maria Bradshaw, wonderful woman. She's like, talking about her son and all of these other people that have lost their children to drugs and bad reactions, suicides, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Nobody else talking about the truth on that issue, certainly not on the media side of things. So, you know, I actually endeavoured quite hard to put that whole 2.5-hour conference as edited up as I could do up on my website. And as I was about to leave, I noticed that there was this microphone there. Now, there were a hell of a lot of mainstream media people there at this conference. And I thought to myself, oh my God, one of these mainstream media scumbags has left his microphone with a little stand and everything. Not like a tall stand or anything, just like one of the tiny little tripod ones that you just pop on a desk, you know? And I was like, man, I'll nick this, yeah. Grabbed it and walked out with it, didn't say nothing to anybody. And then I got it home, and I put it in a box just underneath my desk. I wasn't, like, hiding it or anything. I just had a bad feeling. Like I'd done something wrong. And I refused to use that microphone, which was much better than the microphones I did have. And I think, like, a couple of months later, I get this phone call. And there's this lady on the other end from Casper. Asking, did I know what happened to the microphone that night? And I played it off and I said, yeah, oh my God, yeah. I was hoping somebody would call me about this. I usually kind of was. And I was going to a protest at that point. And so I said, you know, I'll take it in the car with me. And I'll meet you in town and I'll hand the microphone back to you. You know, it's perfectly well preserved. Hasn't been damaged or even used. Just been stored. Stolen. You know? Honestly. I feel freaking ashamed of myself. And I get these flashbacks all the time about bad stuff that I've done, like that, where no actual real harm came into it, but I still feel really, really bad about it. And I get that all the time. It's like a shock to the spine sort of thing. I don't know if you've ever had the sensation where you go, oh, for just sort of randomly. You might have seen other people do it. It's like I really beat up on myself about these things that I've done. Even though I've done, you know, quite a quantitatively large amount of good, it's not all the good things that I remember when I'm by myself and thinking about things, you know? It's always the bad things that happen to me. Has that happened to everybody else as well? I don't know. But I think I'm freaking talking about myself too much, of course, but at the end of the day, I'm still really effed off at the entire system, and at the same time feeling really guilty about things that I've done. And I'm not sure if I'm just like getting in my own way, am I overthinking it, or am I actually going through a reasonable process of analysing my own actions, their implications, their consequences, and then trying to adjust my behaviours accordingly so I don't pull off that kind of BS in the future, you know? Or am I just running myself into the ground by being far too honest, as has happened to me in almost all of my relationships and the rest of my life? If you tell people what you really, really think, especially if you tell them what you really think about them, you no longer have a friend in general. You know, it's a sad but true fact that there's so many people who will literally judge you on one statement, one phrase, and throw everything out the window. It's sort of the same thing that I do to myself. I look at all the good that I've done, all the great things that I've said and helped to elucidate to people and help them to have broader understandings about stuff that they never even conceived of in the first frickin' place through thousands of different conversations with people from all over the world and all over the country. But that's not the thing that I remember. I remember the one time when I did something that I disagree with and then disregard all the rest. It's the exact same thing that happens with listeners. You know, like I said, a week ago we had this big power cut, and of course I went to the organic cafe up the road, and there's a lady in there who recognised me from a Zeitgeist meeting I was at a couple of years ago, and she said, "Oh yeah, Vinny, I don't really listen to your show anymore because you did one show one time and you weren't talking about the benefits of feminism. Like, you know, we're kind of denigrating and having a look at the CIA sponsorship and things of that nature behind the feminism movement, you know, on a factual basis. We're not freaking woman haters. All three of us were married at the time, you know." It's like somebody accusing you of racism or sexism or any or virtually any ism. If they accuse you with some kind of a name, they've lost the argument, in my opinion, because they're not actually arguing. They're just freaking name calling, like it's a schoolyard game. It's a freaking game to these people. I don't want to vibe like that, man. I'm not playing games with you, ladies and gentlemen. There's a reason why I confess all this stuff. It's because it's therapy for me to know that the bad and the good in me is out there freely for people to see in my own words. So if anybody talks trash about me behind my back, I can guarantee you, I've said worse about myself on air. Alright? So in a weird way, I'm protected, because I'm not actually really trying to mess with you or anything like that. I'm just being honest. There is nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. And I'm starting to get a little bit egotistical about it, because there's so many people who criticize me and say it's all about my ego and everything like that. Well, my egotism is a little bit of a part of it, and I'm not going to deny that I have a bit of an ego. It's not the reason I do what I do. Yeah, the reason I'm doing what I do, bro, is because basically I experience great pain and suffering at the hands of the system, Others have suffered much worse. Some have not even lived through their pain and suffering. And I still haven't gotten over mine, and I don't think anybody ever really does. There's learned ways of coping with it. They say build a bridge and get over it, but then they're only telling you that because they haven't frickin' built the bridge and gotten over it themselves. They've just learned to frickin' freeze in the waters of self-pity and just deal with it like a man. You know, what's wrong with people? We're just totally out of touch. We're out of touch with each other. You know, we're all plugged into these smartphones and our computers and everything like that. You've got husbands and wives living in frickin' different parts of their house and everything, and they're like ships in the night. They don't even have a relationship except with their computer and all their friends online that they never meet. They've got no real human contact anymore. So it's just... makes us all feel lost. Makes me feel lost. How many times have I, you know, thought badly of people just in general? You know, like, oh, slaves, friggin' scum. Countless times. You know, you see articles in the paper or anything of people being really stupid or really callous or anything like that. And it concocts a view that basically there's me and the scum. Us and the zombies. That kind of thing. This us versus their mentality. Now, there is an us versus them mentality, but the public aren't... How can I really describe this delicately? The answer is I can't. The public aren't in full control of their own minds, of their own actions, of their own lives. They can't be. They haven't been for quite some time. So, several generations, in fact, of dependency, public education, and brain control, mind washing, and very simple diplomacy has allowed people to basically accept more or less any living condition without question. That's more or less it. Their lives are controlled, and their minds are controlled too. All of us are, to some degree. Not going to lie about that. Some degree, we're all under a little bit of mind control. And if you don't think that you do, you're lying to yourself. Okay, brain ain't got no firewalls. You see an image, boom, you have a mental reaction. Happens to everybody all the time. Anything you see gets decoded and an impression comes up. So there's many, many ways to manipulate your mind. And it really effed off with people who are so frickin' sure of themselves. I mean, come on. You're living on a planet that has infinite quantities of knowledge. Huge, long tracts of history, ancient history, etc. Massive cosmos around you, spions with telescopes, etc. Microscopic organisms. You've got all manner of degrees of study that you could get into that you know nothing about currently. And you think that you know it all. You think that you've heard it all. You think that you know enough so that you don't need to learn anything. Bro, grow up. Your learning experience didn't stop because you stopped going to school. Because there was a summer holiday break or anything like that. This is what I'm talking about. About walking around with your eyes freaking open. Sweet mercy. There are so many things happening. Even me not following the news, just thinking about things that I've seen or editing lectures about electromagnetic frequencies and all these different aspects of our health system that's under attack and eugenics and depopulation and therapy and the chemtrails and the good and all the truth or infighting and the half truth movement. Everything is just buzzing around in here. It's driving me freaking nuts. It's like a busted open hornet's nest in my brain places. It's not pleasant. It stings and it buzzes with freaking irony. And it's just not funny sometimes. I go nuts. Absolutely mental. I mean, as I said, a very angry person. And I yell and I scream something awful. It's like I throw tantrums. That's how freaking crazy I'm getting. Because I just haven't been letting it out.
effectively. I haven't been honest with myself. I haven't been true enough to myself. I've been given the platform of my show to absolutely everybody else to say whatever the hell they want. And I've been trying to play to everybody's tune and give people, you know, the respect and the coverage that they deserve for all their ideas and things of that nature, to the point where I didn't want to listen to anybody at all anymore. And I just wanted to be angry, you know? Have you ever been in a group of friends or anything, anywhere, and there's a whole bunch of really talkative people who might, like, talk over others on occasion and what have you, and you're sort of like the quiet person in the room, and you try to get a word in here or there, or maybe talk about something a little bit in detail, and you just get interrupted, and you don't really get to say your piece, and it kind of happens again and again throughout the night or something. I'm not sure if you've ever had a night like this. That's kind of like my job, is to sit there and listen to people and get talked over. As a polite radio show host, I mean, you're not supposed to interrupt your guests to talk over them. It's supposed to really be the other way around, in my opinion. But as it turns out, you become a punching bag for everybody else's stresses and complaints and everything, that they now finally have this free platform to talk about in a fairly uncensored general kind of way. And so I'm sitting here and I'm listening to all these people with all of their eclectic problems from hundreds of different fields of studies, with PhDs and doctorates and goodness knows what qualifications. Used to work in the government, local government, corporate private sector, oil industry, CIA, private security forces, mercenaries, assassins and discoverers, scientists, authors, filmmakers, radio show hosts, occult researchers, some of the greatest philosophers and thinkers of our times, researchers into psychological conditions and drugs and war and armaments and absolutely everything. It's like you're overflowing the pot with knowledge sometimes, don't you think? What happens when you shovel down stuff and you don't have the time to chew it? You know? That's kind of what it feels like. You need to take time out to digest or to repeat things back. Speaking of repeating things back, I'm going to take a quick break in a wiki leak. We'll be right back. To the Vinnie Eastwood Show at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. If you give me a moment, I just kind of need to plug my services for a bit. I do need to help people in order to be able to survive, and the relationship is reciprocal. So, if you need coverage of some description, you know, New Zealand or America or Australia or whatever, and you're talking about stuff that the government won't let you say, or the mainstream media won't give you the platform, or anything like that. Anything outside of the mainstream that is true and ain't full of crap, and you've got like a little meeting or somewhere in Auckland, or maybe around the country, or whatever you want to fly me around. I'm not sure about the international travel thing, but you know, that'd be nice. It'd be interesting to trial out and see if I can actually leave the country. See if I'm on Bush's old no-fly list or something, you know. It'd be funny. But yeah, I can help, man. Trust me. I've got cameras, I got a microphone, everything. I might be kind of intrusive when I'm filming your presentations, etc. But I edit myself out afterwards. And comes away with two camera angles and really good sound. So at the end of the day, it's going to be quite nice and easy for everybody involved.
So what I need, really, ladies and gentlemen, is to be invited to things. You know, if you talks, presentations, or political party meetings and things of that nature, you know, just hit me up on Facebook or the contact page on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and invite me. You know, I'll either be able to come or I won't. I won't necessarily charge you for it. It'd be really lovely if I'm filming your conference or something like that, if you're making money out of it, that you can give me, I don't know, $150, $250 or something, you know, bit of a mates rates thing there, whatever. But I will do it for free if you need me to. If you got no money to pay me, no worries, man. You know, it's like a whole weekend's work, putting up hours of presentations, two camera angles and everything. It's a lot of work, but I do it. You know, there's not too many, let's just say there's not too many opportunities for people of an activist budget to get their film, their stuff documented, let alone get it uploaded. There's plenty of people who I've seen over my years of experience in public meetings, protests, political party meetings, etc. Plenty of people who come and film them. Plenty. And there's usually only one out of all those conferences that I've been to. Usually only one. Almost exceptionally be more than one would upload the entirety of a public meeting. Or a big political speech and things like that. I do. That's me. In terms of New Zealand, there's just nobody else. There's nothing egotistical about it. It's a verifiable fact. You go find me somebody anywhere in this country who spends as much hours at it that I do, produces the hours upon hours of content of important information and made freely available to people through YouTube and a website that you don't have to pay for. You know? There's just nobody in this country doing that. It's unfortunate. I'm not saying, you know, nobody does anything. I'm just saying I do it way more than everybody else combined. So compared to me, they're not doing much. And it's not because, you know, they're lazy, etc. I'm not going to make judgments. I don't even know what these people do in their personal lives, if they still have jobs or anything like that. But I went in whole hog, I quit my job, and I started basically going out there and helping people because they needed help. All these activists and everything like that, they don't even know how to use Skype. I'm teaching them now. I just taught Penny Bright, long-time activist. I've known for like 5 years or something like that. How to upload a video to YouTube. Her very first YouTube video with a new YouTube channel and everything like that. You can teach an old public watchdog new tricks. Mm-hmm. These are the things I can do. I can help people. And the way that I want to help people, mostly, is not just doing the job for them. I also want to actually teach you how to do the job for yourself, so that you don't need me anymore. Okay? The objective of my career is to make myself obsolete, and then move on to somewhere else where I can help better humanity. Because I believe that citizen journalism and contributing to the wider public sphere of available knowledge is one of the most important jobs in this frickin' realm of existence. If people don't have appropriate information that is researched, backed up, verified, and not coming from mainstream media sources, I mean, isn't it not self-evident? Everything's falling apart. Coming apart at the freaking seams. It's an extraordinary mess of crap work out there, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to assure you that there are meetings and town halls and little conferences and things like that being put on all over the world that barely any of you hear about. All right? Plenty that I don't hear about. But the very small percentage the 1% of, let's say, conferences and things of that nature that are talking about alternative stuff that happens just in my home city of Auckland that I cover will blow your frickin' mind 1,000 times over. So you can imagine what they would be like if there were 1,000 Vinnie Eastwoods in this country, you know, that I've helped just to school them, you know, tell them, don't waste time on that, you know, do this, get your content out. Don't worry about the editing details, because then you'll sit there and you'll have 10 unfinished videos 6 months later. You need that video up now, bro. There was a protest yesterday. Soon as humanly possible, while people are still searching about it. While the people who actually went to the protest will still be looking for videos and things of that nature to come out. It's not that freaking difficult. As long as you quit messing around. Alright, I quit messing around because I realised I had nothing left to live for. Alright, you know, Fukushima, freaking Gulf of Mexico, or the chemtrails, and the EMF wireless radiation, and the fluoride in the water, and the vaccines, and freaking world government plans and everything. We're freaking dead, ladies and gentlemen, we're dead. Alright, so I was like, well, bugger it. If I'm dead anyway, I might as well just make a difference instead of being upset about it. And I might as well help some people who are actually trying to save human life from pain, suffering, fear, and death. It's amazing what we'll do if we're forced into a tight corner. I don't know how to get out of this, though. All right? I'm basically locked in here. I'm a slave to this microphone and this desk. Sometimes it Fs me off, but hey, at the end of the day, this is my sentence. I'm sentenced to help people. Share their pain and their joy, their discoveries and ideas to people who are wise enough to listen through to the end without judgment or a short attention span getting in the way of the truth. That's why these interviews are long form generally. That's why I don't interrupt the guests. Because you can hear my ideas freaking any time. You hear me every show. But for that one show where that one person is coming and, you know, that's their show. And I'm just the friendly douchebag with a microphone. Here to make your stay more enjoyable. Would you like a cup of tea, sir? You know? That kind of thing. I try to make everybody laugh and have a fun time and enjoy their life. While they're learning about themselves being exterminated and enslaved. Okay? There's nothing inherently wrong with that, is there? See? Every single silver lining has a cloud. It's just beautiful. And it's cumulative. Like a cumulus. Or is it a cumulus? I don't know where I'm accumulating the knowledge from. Regardless, I need your support, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, really? Have I not given enough? Have I not proven my worth? Have I not served the community long enough? 5 long years, ladies and gentlemen, I've been supported by your donations and people who are coming on board and basically giving me a donation for advertiser and sponsorship and things of that nature in order to keep this show on the air. Because they believe... No, they don't believe. They know that I will keep putting out information. Not small quantities of it either. Large swollen rivers of information. From people from eclectic fields that you couldn't even name if you had a 2-hour show to just list them. That's what we talk about on this show. And we give that all out to people. Free. You don't have to pay for it. I mean, you got to pay for your internet connection, maybe whatever else. But at the end of the day, you have thousands upon thousands of hours of YouTube videos and radio content with some of the most mind-bending and life-changing stuff you will ever hear in your life. And it's actually fun to listen to. It's actually enjoyable. That's the thing that I notice is very different about when I'm listening to my show versus other people's show. The other shows, they're great and they're profound and they're really powerful and they make me think. and they make me feel enriched, but they also make me stressed, and I feel like drained at the end of them. And I listen to my show, and at the end of it, I don't feel that. I get all the other same reactions during the rest of it, but I'm also having a few laughs here and there. You know, and it's not just because I like the sound of my own voice. This is verifiable. There have been many, many people who have commented on this. Fastest 2 hours in talk radio. Seriously, by the end of listening to all of this stuff, no matter how scary it is, you actually feel better about it. Because not only do you know how to laugh at it, because it's really scary information at the end of the day, but you get to hear more of it tomorrow. And again and again. And you will have a geometric growth in your knowledge of the world because you're not having that pressure and strain put on you. Now, this might be ironic considering the pressure and strain that it puts me under, but at the end of the day, name me one host who really does a comedy show at the end of the day, kind of like me, but talks about all of the scary, profoundly amazing stuff. Nobody really comes to mind. There's a few variants, you know, like a Jon Stewart, like comedian-esque type thing. Maybe Lewis Black, who talks a little bit about politics. Maybe some Bill Hicks. But at the end of the day, we're not talking about long-form interviews where you actually get really informed at the end of it. That's the problem, is that they've turned comedy into a way of summarizing facts for you and having it be almost informationless. You know, I consider this show a form of infotainment. I surely do. Because it actually informs you. And it actually entertains you. At least I hope so. At least I think so. Okay, maybe it doesn't, but at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, I do need support so that I can simply continue to offer this service. And if you've never been... if you have trouble about people listening to you, that kind of thing. Like we all do. Because they call us crazy. Or they tell us that they hate us. Or tell us that we've got other agendas or other stuff like that in place. If there's that, if you ever get people walking away from you at when you're just having a normal conversation about some conspiracy stuff, you know. As you do. Yeah. You ever felt like you're the sane one and everybody else is totally freaking nuts? You feel like you hate them for it? You hate them because they don't know what the hell is going on? And you start to get bitter about it? It's because you're not listening to the Vinnie Eastwood show. You know? You're not learning to laugh about it. You really got to figure out how to let some of this stuff go. It's a service that I give freely. It's not an offer or anything. It's already on the table. You can take it or leave it. Believe me, you will hear something on this show that you don't agree with. Might come out of my mouth, might come out of the mouth of the guest or anything like that. But if you turn the show off then, all you're doing is proving that you judge people based upon one leaf of their tree. One leaf that makes up an entire tree. Judge them based on that. Ah, it's got necrosis, whole tree's dead now. Doesn't work like that, ladies and gentlemen. If you disagree with somebody on a certain point, do what Penny Bright does, long-time activist. You've got to come together on the points that you agree. You know, issue by issue. Otherwise, you wind up alienating everybody. And you know what happens when you alienate everybody? You get alienated by everybody, you nitwit. It's like the very reason that you're coming into this and like accusing everybody of being this, that, or the other. It's the very reason why people don't like you. Because you're accusing them of things that you actually got no evidence for. When you do have evidence, on the other hand, people don't just not like you and switch off. Some people will love you. Others will hate you and endeavor to destroy you. And they will usually be people you thought you could count on. People you can trust. People you thought make a living out of telling the truth. Happens everywhere I'm looking now, ladies and gentlemen. This amplification device we call the internet has allowed everybody, including myself, to inflate their egos to the point of bursting. And some of them have already burst, and they're simply fountaining out this frickin' egomaniac, megalomaniac nonsense. People just don't care about the evidence anymore. They said, oh, I've lived this certain amount of life, and blah, 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 I've seen this kind of thing before, I'm never wrong. Matey potatey, you've got to be freaking kidding me. I'm extraordinarily frustrated. At people's lack of the sense of the possible, I think, as David Icke put it. You know, once you eliminate that, once you say, I'm going to throw possibility out the wind. Like, maybe it's a possibility that I'm a douchebag. Maybe it's a possibility that I'm under mind control. Maybe it's a possibility that what I'm doing is hurting the truth movement or helping the half-truth movement or something of that nature. If you're not even prepared to entertain the possibilities, you just go, no, no, no. Then, bro, you're gonna land yourself in a bit of trouble. I mean, this happens to everybody. If you're not capable of self-analyzing, then I swear you have a dangerous demon to fight. You know, I went through a point where I was vicious as a child. You know, I killed animals, hit my parents, hit my schoolmates, and things of this nature. It was just awful. It's because I was being it. It's what happens. You just get some pain on you, and then you reflect it off. So when you're watching, when you listen to the show, and you're hearing people talk about all this stuff, but they're associating it with laughter and crappy puns or whatever, maybe that'll help you get by. Rather than somebody screaming it at you and telling you to be afraid of it and telling you to wake everybody else up and things of that nature. Because that will get you the rejection that everybody in sales feels when people ain't buying what you're selling, when they think that you're crazy, when they tell you to F off or something of that nature, when you're trying to be genuine, when you're trying to help them, and then you start to hate them. Because you're doing the right thing, and you foolishly think that people appreciate those who do the right thing and tell the truth. The unbridled, uncomfortable truth versus the bold and comforting lie. People will pick the lie nearly every time. So, you will be depressed if you are a truth seeker at times. You will be depressed if you are a truth spreader at times. Not because, oh, you're unhealthy or anything like that. It's because, basically, the evil eye works. Right? And this new study says that if you give somebody the evil eye, you know, when you stare at the back of their head, studies have proven that your body actually reacts to it. There's like a stress hormone, stuff like that. So if you're being criticized, even if you don't read the emails, that stuff's still out there, in my opinion. You know? It's still coming at you. Even if you just see the headline of an email or who it's from, and you know them as somebody who just basically trolls and gives abuse and stuff over YouTube and what have you. Just that name coming up gets this sort of resurgence of anger and rage. We've got to be able to let that go from time to time, just have a bit of a laugh about it, and also, not only just laughing about it, you know, because that's just too vacuous and freaking shallow for my liking, you also need to be really deep about it, like really, really deep. I mean, you should be, if you're uninitiated to the wiles of the world, and most of the audience actually are quite educated, according to the stats and everything, most of them, and they're, I think, nearly twice my age. You know, between around 50 to 60, I think. Oh, no, 40 to 60 is about half the audience for this show. And there's a reason why I can talk quite well to my elders. It's because most of my friends are my elders, you know. And I've learned respect, patience, and sitting there and actually listening to somebody and taking the time to really ask a question of somebody who actually has life experience for which I have not earned the knowledge in the hope that they might freely give me some knowledge that they have learned on their travels, and so that I might benefit geometrically at my young age from knowledge that took them an entire lifetime to accumulate. Okay? you can accumulate that knowledge too. And it's not just your elders that you can learn off. No, 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 no. There's plenty of young people, middle-aged. It doesn't matter the age. What matters are the ideas. I make sure that these people have a platform to share their ideas. Can you support me for doing that? I'll just ask you nicely. I'm going to give you this content for free. I'm not going to back into a corner. I'm not going to threaten you or say that, oh, the show is going to collapse without your support or anything like that. I just really want to ask you an honest question. Is somebody doing this job for you, for humanity, etc., all the other eclectic ripple effects that can actually be done like this, like an activist who's down on their luck who suddenly gets reinvigorated just because there's a show of him, finally. Finally, somebody actually listened to me for a couple of hours and I got to tell a bit of my story and get it off my freaking chest. Kind of like what I'm doing now. Alright? Because is that worth supporting? Is that worth carrying on in perpetuity? Is the idea worth stealing and replicating yourself and go off and do it and not need my help or the help of anyone else to get into talk radio, to start making YouTube videos and really make a difference? Sure, it's nice having big rankings and like the most subscribed YouTube news channel in New Zealand, even more than the mainstream media YouTube channels here, but it's not the reason I'm doing it. The reason I'm doing it is because I need therapy, the activists need therapy, and we're all in this motherfracker together, are we not? That's why I'm asking you to support me, to go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and sign up for a subscription. $5, $10 a month, more or less, if you feel like it. A regular donation, maybe if you're in New Zealand, into the Kiwi Bank account that has the numbers on there. I would really, really appreciate it because it's been... winter's a hard time and there's so many... There's just so many costs and expenses and everything, and my wife's gardening business hasn't been doing very well, and I've had to pay all the bills and everything, you know. I'm an activist talk radio show host, and I've had to pay the rent for two people and the food and everything, and it's been incredibly hard, and I really do need your support, ladies and gentlemen, your constant support. So please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and subscribe today. We'll be right back with our guest, Suzanne Closer.